All right. Let me officially open this meeting in prayer. If you would pray with me. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to meet as a family. Pray, Lord, that you'll give us wisdom into the business matters and the practical matters of the church, Lord, that we can be good stewards of what you've given us. Lord, pray that that love would cover a multitude of sins, and pray that your Spirit would lead us, that this would truly be glorifying to your Son. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we're just going to have a chat here and invite you guys in. We've got a fairly brief agenda where we're going to keep things moving. We will have a couple points that are open for discussion if you have any specific questions. I wanted to start with just a quick highlight of some of the key things that have happened this past year. I did most of that in the sermon, so I don't feel like I need to recap that. I do want to say the enormity of what we went through. Some of the key volunteers and the elders went through this last year. It's really hard to overstate.
So it was a big year, wasn't it?
It was a big year. For example, we didn't know if we were closing. We didn't know what it cost. When we started this discussion about moving here, we had no idea what the cost. Ken Letter sent us an email saying, you realize it'll cost us about $110,000 a year to move into the middle school. And the best part about Ken Letters is he's a man of faith. He said he was still okay with the decision. He wanted us to know what it could add up to. And we had no idea what they were going to give us on the lease. And all of that didn't close out until a week before we moved in here, if you remember. If you were here for that process. Also, the number of leases and the number of code things and zoning things and all the things we went through for Bridge Street has just been epic. We've had over 60 volunteers volunteer their time to move Bridge Street from what it was. Do you guys have those slides? Can I show you just the before and this is just two before. This is what we looked at, and this is what it now looks like. And then here's the other angle. This is what it looked like, and this is what it now looks like, the same angle. So, yeah, you guys have done an amazing job. Like I said, over 60 volunteers, thousands of hours, and several very notable ones, which we'll mention in a minute. The other thing is just so you know, we'll go over some of this in the other things, but our giving and attendance has been way up. And, yeah, I went over everything else in the meeting. So next week I was planning on having an annual report kind of ready to hand out to you guys today, but God had other things in mind this week, but Erica DeRico had a good wedding. Huh? So that's that is a good reason to not have an annual report ready. So
do you think we could have them out and they could do a little bit of dancing and twirling? Because he's had all his lessons
They've practiced. This week I'll send it out to you in electronic format and have some printed out next week to kind of review all the things that have happened this last year, just to give you a sense of the different ministries going on here and where we're at.
So one of the things that happens when any organization, but when a church grows, is that we all start celebrating, but we also start scrambling, because we start scrambling for more and more leadership, because essentially, as you actually have to keep creating more groups and more opportunities to engage people and for them to come in, you need people to run it. So one of our big issues this year, and one of our issues for the next couple of years, I believe in faith, is going to be the anointing and the preparation and the releasing of people in leadership. And, you know, I used to be an organizational development consultant once in my career. I've done many, many sort of weird and wonderful, wacky things. But essentially, the massive transition that we've sort of faced as an organization has put real pressure on the number of people that we have that can lead things. And one of the fabulous things is that we've seen lots of people coming forward and actually, as you heard, volunteering to actually get involved, particularly in the sort of connect groups, with lots of people coming into leadership for the first time. So I don't know if you know how we're kind of structured, but essentially, you know, what was really happening is that there was Paul in the middle, like the hub of a bicycle set of spokes And everybody was reporting to Paul. Everybody that was running a team or a ministry or a piece of the volunteering on Sunday mornings or whatever, everybody is talking to Paul. And it started to actually get to a point where we realized that this is going to have to be something that we're going to have to address in this year.
I think that was the point when I got shingles and almost died.
Yeah. So we thought, we could let him, go under, or we could sort of pull him out. So we kind of decided pulling him out was a good idea. And so we, in addition to the elder board, which I'll come back to in a minute, we created something that we called the transitional leadership team. And it was transitional because this was a major transition in the life of the church. So we have a monthly forum now where everybody that is working on responsibilities for various ministries and teams and organizing all aspects of the church come together for about an hour and a half, and we get an opportunity for Paul to actually give us his perspective of a sort of an update on the church's life that month and his vision and issues and sort of successes and challenges. And he only has to say it once instead of taking everybody to coffee and saying it 17 different times. And not only that, everybody hears what everybody else is dealing with, and we're able to sort of share the load. We're able to say, oh, well, we could actually help with that, or that would actually connect well with another ministry. So this has been a really big both transition for us, but actually a real blessing as we've started to develop this leadership team, as we'll start to call it in the future, this leadership team as it sort of works through and helps in the elder board's job of leading this church strategically. So that sort of brings me to, first of all, to the elder candidates. So we had two candidates. We have three people that are standing off because for various reasons. But essentially, we have three candidates that are stepping down from the elder board, and we have two candidates that you're going to be voting on with those slips, Bob DiRico and Eric Wanasella. So Bob has done virtually every role known to man within Grace Valley Fellowship. So I'm not going to sort of list out all the different things he's done. But Eric, is a youth group leader, but he also runs the high school Bible study group. He gets involved in many, many different things. We're really, really grateful to him. So that's a decision that we're going to be taking today. And then I just would like the people that have been involved in the transitional leadership team, could you just stand up and we just see who you are? Don't be shy. You can applaud these people. They all put an enormous amount of time and energy in. And then also, one of the things that has just been fabulous for me and Anna to actually see, everybody that is providing leadership in terms of the Connect groups, the hosts, the leaders, the pastoral care people for the four Connect groups that we've got at the moment. Can you stand up? We can just recognize you, including Linda. Yes, okay. So just to say, we are very, very grateful for our voluntary leaders. We know that this church wouldn't be in the place it is, couldn't run, and we couldn't be doing the things that we're trying to do to represent and be Jesus if it wasn't for you.
Great. Thanks, Doug. Real quick, on the handout I gave you, this is leadership at the top. I just wanted to review some of the big shift that we're going to have into the next year are really going to be staff changes. Wanted to bring everyone up to speed on that. That's what I'm supposed to do next. Yes, good. All right, so with this, I just want to, basically that staff changes in the middle section, I want to show you, I don't plan on leaving in the next year. Greg and Linda, we're going to keep them around. Tracy Ellebeck, we're hoping to keep her around, not burn her out. But we do have Katie Clow has done an amazing job this last year. She actually wanted to quit last September. I said, just hang on, just a little while longer. And she led us through this massive transition. And she had like kind of the biggest job of getting into this space and did an amazing job. But I had to promise her a deadline when I would allow her to officially quit. And so she finished at the end of May, and she's done an amazing job. Couldn't be here today, but man. Yeah. Make sure she couldn't be here today, but make sure you give her your thanks. She's been awesome for our children's ministry. In the meantime, we've hired Deanna Wurtenberger, who is she's an Eastern student. There's a little bit about her. Just off the charts for a college student, off the charts, responsible, gifted, worked in camp ministry for years, is helping to run a camp ministry this summer. So she couldn't be here this summer. So this September, she's going to start on staff part-time, 12 hours a week, leading our children's ministry. Speaking of people who've tried to quit on me, my wife has been awesome. In December, right before Christmas, I was melting down. And I was like, Kim Lowndes had found a full-time position. And I was like, what am I going to do? And Kenny's like, I can fill in for a few weeks while you find someone. Well, 6 months later, and three times she's given me her notice. But she stuck it out. And so we finally wanted to wait till we get to this position. The plan is if the budget's approved, we're actually going to change the position a bit, increase it, and have someone who can keep office hours and things like that, and going to finally let Jenny do what she wants to do, which is design team stuff and stay-at-home mom. So yes.
And run the office in Bridge Street.
That's Lucas Rogers is the associate staff. He and Carrie and Gabe and Jude will be here in mid-July. He's going to come on. He's really going to take a lot of the work. He's going to become more of if we give him a title right now, it'd be a pastor of discipleship. But he is a great teacher. He's a solid preacher. We go through the list of the things he's gifted at. So we're gonna be playing around. Right now, we're gonna start out with a number of projects that he's gonna work on. We're gonna see where it goes from there. But we've worked together before. Really excited to have him come down on the team. And the other two things are Lord willing, we're gonna add a worship intern and a youth intern. Both of those are kind of to be determined. The worship intern, we just created that just because we love having Jamie around. She's been an unpaid intern for months, and she's been excellent. And she's really, what I've noticed is that not only does she bring a high level of skill and competency to administrative and to the music ministry, she improves Greg Heitha. And man, she does. She makes him, he is a better leader with her around. And I'm like, man, what do we have to do to keep this girl around? So that's the plan. She's graduating in December, and Lord willing, if we have the budget for it, we'd like to create some type of intern position to try and keep her around for a little while. So,
which nicely brings us to sort of budget. So I kind of wanted, as sort of chair of the elders, this is my last day as chair of the elders, I really wanted to sort of just echo a little bit of what Paul said in the sermon, because whenever you start to sort of, we switch into sort of business mode, we start looking at budgets and all the rest, we can basically lose that sense of that essentially what has been happening amongst us is fundamentally supernatural. And I wanted to just reiterate that at this point, because I've been privileged to see God work supernaturally in things that, you know, people often think of as healing and miracles, but what has happened in this church in the last, you know, sort of 18 months, 2 years, has been nothing short of miraculous. If you start looking at the extent, and if you've been on the sort of the inside track as I've been over the last couple of years, you realize that what we have been doing is running as hard as we can to keep up with the Holy Spirit, and that's honestly how it's felt. It's like, okay, another little faith test here. Let's try and understand where God's going with this. And so I want you to sort of look at both the budget in terms of celebrating all that's happened this year financially, and all that's involved in that, and the budget that we're putting before you and submitting before the church for the next year in that context. Because this is a faith exercise. This is us putting our faith in a God that has done amazing things for us in the last couple of years. Just one point that to me stands out that feels miraculous is when we took the decision to go with both the middle school move and Bridge Street build out in the same year, and kept going with everything else, we turned around and said, okay, so we've got a sort of reserve ministry fund. we'll probably go into that and we'll probably zero that out. But that was the purpose for why people gave that money in the first place. That's what we said as an elder group. And we then turned around and said, okay, so on that basis, we have faith this is the right thing to do. Well, yes, we had a sort of Christmas appeal, and that was incredibly sort of generously responded to. But we kind of like factored, honestly, a lot of that generosity into our thinking. And we've ended the year essentially in terms of our normal income covering the Bridge Street build out, the middle school changes, everything that we've actually absorbed with the help of the Christmas appeal, with not having to actually have gone into that ministry fund reserve at all. Mm. That is phenomenal. And in actual fact, we actually added a surplus to it, yeah, which is just amazing. So, you know, that's the context in which we're going in to sort of talk about a budget to come.
I just wanted to take a couple of minutes. I already sent this out to you. Hopefully you got a chance to read over it, so I won't go through all the details. But it's this year we're proposing a 10% increase in our regular giving for the budget. And this is something that hasn't been done in a long time at this church. 10% is fairly aggressive. So I just wanted to give you just a few of the facts. This is on the little handout you have here about the weekly attendance and giving trends. There are the four big reasons why we think a 10% increase makes sense for this next year. The first being that the giving trends over the past 2 years, and the last 2 years, year-to-year increases, we've seen 30% and 27% increase in our regular giving, et cetera, et cetera. I'll let you guys look at the facts there. I think they kind of speak for themselves. The one thing that I think is encouraging on this trend is if you look not just at the last year, but you look at the last quarter, our giving for the last quarter has been about $6,300 per week in giving, and our budgeted is $6,517 a week. So really the difference is a 3-4% increase and not a full 10% from where we're actually at this last quarter. So we've established a trend where we're definitely growing. The other things are, we didn't just do this budget. We were looking in the next 3 years. Where do we want to be in 3 years? And so we set this budget, we were projecting growth in the next 3 years, Lord willing, but slowing growth so that we can have, you know, cautiously optimistic is the way we did this budget. And so 10% next year, we're projecting 8% the year after that, 6%. If we stay on that type of growth trend, which honestly, I think we might be able to cover that. If we have anything similar to what we've had the last 2 years, we'll cover all of that in 1 year, that level of growth. If we stay on that trend, though, we'll be able to pay. The key thing is the lease for Bridge Street doesn't kick in until year three. So we need to be able to have extra $30,000 a year in our operating funds at year three, because our renovations were the upfront cost that covered the lease for the first 2 years. So year three is when we need to have that. So adding the staff and adding Bridge Street, we need to make sure, and this budget does account for that over the three-year time haul.
So this guy is cautiously optimistic, and I'm optimistically cautious. So it's been a good team. I just wanted to sort of, so that's kind of like hit the income side of the budget, and I just wanted to sort of pull out a couple of, you know, important pieces on the expense side of the budget. So as we go down from where it says sort of line 7 all the way down to 42. So basically on the expenses, you can see it's chunked up into areas of expenses. So the big one, a big change is obviously the staffing. So that's got a little bit of extra money in there for extra administrator hours and a few other things. But essentially, you know, the big chunk of that is a new, you know, associate pastor coming and joining us. And that basically ticks up the taxes, the benefits, and everything else. The search committee and expense funds obviously are the cost of actually, you know, getting Lucas over here and settled in with us. Ministry expenses, I mean, the big thing to look at in those, that category, the general administration category, equipment, hospitality, communications, is that we're keeping it as tight as possible. There's really not much increase there. We're trying to keep it as tight as possible because essentially, you know, we've got some big increases in the staffing area. So we would love, as elders, and you can see that this is sort of noted on the side, we'd love to, for instance, on Bridge Street outreach, to actually have a bit more money that we can actually put into some major events, you know, through the life of and interact with the community on First Fridays and things like that. So if we could, we would love to put more money into that. There's a few other things that we pulled out as an elder board and said, you know, we would love to actually spend more on this. So, and we've started to sort of call them discretionary items. So you heard that the two intern positions are discretionary items. And what we're going to do as an elder board going forward is that we're going to keep an eye on how we're doing and making sure the income is actually following the budget. And if it is, then the elder board can release those discretionary items to be spent along the way. If we're doing better, we might be able to add a little bit to a couple of lines that we've already sort of highlighted. But if we're not actually necessarily reaching those income levels or we're uncertain of that, then we'll just hold off the discretionary items conservatively until we're at that position. So facilities, you've heard that essentially you can see 27,000 is the middle school ongoing rental fee. That's a big chunk. And we're really not paying much rent on Bridge Street because essentially we got rent free for 2 years until that actually kicks in. Because we put so much money and work into this last year for the renovation. So that kind of like 1% going to E3, and you can see that the missions money is an in and out. It's 10% income coming in, and it's basically there as an expense going out. And we haven't added Share the Well into this because essentially, it's an in and out sort of cost, so we kept it out of the regular budget. So what you can start seeing at the end is essentially, you know, 358,000, which essentially is a balanced budget that we're putting before you, and we're very happy to take some questions.
Also, just so you know, the Bridge Street renovations, since we produced this, the elders have okayed more money to go towards the design team because they looked at the year-end budget and said, wow, we've done so well, we're going to have a surplus. So we are actually going to spend more money for the Bridge Street renovations than is listed here. That's yet to be determined, depending on. And also, we're in negotiations. There's some things we would like to do just to make the building better for us that we're hoping to negotiate to take out of the lease, so extend the period from beyond 2 years that we have lease free. So there's a lot of stuff that could move around there. It might be a larger chunk of cash at the front so that we have more free lease. The other thing is we're hoping to close the books on Bridge Street, but we're not going to close the books on that, on the renovations, until probably the goal right now is the end of August. So, any questions? We have 2 minutes. Mark?
So historically it's always been 10%, and it actually only goes to the overseas mission side. So essentially all the local mission that we actually do that we've called local outreach is in addition to that 10%. And then we also have Share the Well, and basically that would add, I can't do the math at the moment, something like a good another 5% or something like that in terms of what we give, because this church gives very generously to that. So the real figure is way, I think it's over 15%. I mean, if you added local outreach, which from a theological perspective, I would argue you ought to, all of that is missions, you know, I think we would be well in excess of just that 10% figure. Yes, Ed?
According to our constitution, it's one of those things where I recommend it and the board has to vote. So that's already...
So the way that it's worked, essentially...
Yeah,
so the elder board voted, etc. The way that the constitution is written, essentially, is that the whole of the church have to, you know, appoint, essentially, by voting a lead pastor. And the lead pastor is allowed to actually interview and recommend their own staff. And they bring that to the elder board, which is also voted in by the whole of the church, and they do it. Yeah.
So, well, and let me say there are two answers there. The one is that practically on the Constitution, we can just make a decision on our own. That's why I We flew him up, though, and did the wine and dine tour. That's why I made him have, like, 7 different dinners at, like, you know, 7 different houses plus an open house so that you guys could meet him and everyone could have their input. And so we very much valued your input in that and did get a lot of input. So I felt like it was we tried to make it participatory, even though it didn't have to be technically.
Did everyone hear that? So the budget, choosing to vote for essentially the budget, is the way in which you can alter the, you're referring to that decision on the associate pastor. Yes.
Sure. Lord willing, that's why we want to hire the increased admin hours, because right now it's me, and I'm really bad at that stuff. So yeah, Lord willing, that this summer that will have someone who's actually in the space and able to schedule that thing, those things.
But we are already asking people for ideas in which, you know, how that space could be used. So if you've got ideas, please come see one of the elders, see Paul.
And we're out of time. We have time maybe one more quick question, if you guys are patient and gracious. Anyone? All right. Let's go ahead and call a vote.
Right.
And then, is there a formal? I don't know the rules of this stuff. Am I supposed to formally call something? Kim, okay, do you know any rules? What am I supposed to do?
So essentially,
everyone vote.
So essentially, the proposition is that we accept this budget as has been given to you in the paper and explained by the two of us, probably very badly, but there you go. And so everybody that is in favor, say aye.
Actually, we have the piece of paper.
Oh, we have to.
Yeah, you fill out the little piece of paper and then you drop it in the basket as you leave.
I thought that was only the elders.
No, that's everybody.
So, okay, I've got to do a bit membership. More of my voting then.
All right, so you on the way out, you can drop them in the baskets, and that will conclude our meeting. I do, if you will give me just 1 minute, I wanted to say thank you to a couple of people before we leave. One, I wanted to ask Mark Brown to stand up. Mark led our transition here, and he's fairly new to the church, and he was just super gracious, super proficient, and led the team and all the purchases and making sure we got it in this space. So I just want to give Mark a... Thanks, Mark. Greg Heitha, way in back. Stand up, man.
Hey!
Greg has led the renovation project for Bridge Street, and with that, you guys, I don't know if you know the extent, since February, he's been working 20 to 30 hours a week for free for us, on top of other things that he does for us. So his level of commitment and making, we would not have Bridge Street if it were not for Greg Heitha, period. And we wouldn't be, frankly, we wouldn't be the church we are without Greg Heitha. And I know he told me not to make a big deal out of him because there's so many other volunteers and stuff, but I don't know of a single other volunteer who's given up 500 hours plus countless of his own money and time and interest to do this. So I wanted to take a moment to thank him. Come up here, Greg Heitha. So... on behalf of the elders and the membership of Grace Valley Fellowship, we are giving Greg a vacation and some other things to enjoy in here. We got him a stay at a bed and breakfast and some other things there, all in there. And so if you work it out, it's like we paid him about 10 cents for every hour he volunteered. It's awesome. So I just want to especially, you know, the scriptures say, you know, give honor where honor is due. And I just want to honor you for that.
Bless you, brother. Here.
And last but not least, I want the elders. If you would, elders who served this year, please stand. These men, I've told them personally that I really feel like they were God's elder board for the time. Like, they've gone through some difficult things, but they really stepped up this year. And really, just our interactions together have been really where we're at as a church. You look, it's been on the backs of these men. And so I am personally have a huge debt of gratitude to these men. Love these men, honor these men, and thank God for them. So. So with that, thanks so much. You're dismissed. Go pick up your kids and drop your votes off as you leave. Thanks.